Do you own an annuity, either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities, like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and the Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. That's 800-760-1845.
He's a six-time All-Star, World Series MVP, and host of the greatest radio show on the planet.
I'm going to have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, really, Holmes? We'll see about that.
It's We'll See About That with World Series MVP Ron Sabe and Mel Garcia.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to We'll See About That. And I want to remind you that we have some new viewers today coming by way of Sportsline. Ron Say here with my co-host, Mel Garcia. And Mel, I wanted to basically touch this segment off by talking about Damar Hamlin and his remarkable recovery.
Absolutely.
And the Buffalo Bills and the National Football League had declared this was going to be a day of honor for Damar Hamlin. And, you know, the 30-yard markers, both sides of the field, two of them apiece, in every game in the NFL was highlighted the number three.
Right.
The Buffalo Bills ran the opening kickoff back 96 yards to basically blow up their fan base at the stadium and put them in a frenzy. Later, they return a second kickoff for a touchdown at the time that they needed because they were starting to get pressed by the other club. And the quarterback, Josh Allen, went on the show afterwards, and he had three touchdown passes. The defense participation created three turnovers.
Right.
And the last one, which is a mind blower, is that it was 3 years and 3 days since the Buffalo Bills ran a kickoff back. So whatever that means, that was great karma.
If you're into numerology, do something.
What a deal. And, of course, what an incredible game for the Buffalo Bills to have. Wow. He is now on social media.
Did you see the fundraising, the toy drive? $8.6 million they've raised?
Wow. I saw that there's plenty of other
things
going on.
It's a lot of toys.
Mikayla Shiffrin, skiing, won the 82nd victory in her career, tying Lindsey Vonn. Georgia wins the national championship. And, of course, the last one here, not good
boring
news. Charles White passed away, USC running back. We'll be right back with Tom Dreesen right after that.
Don't go waddling away just yet.
Get it? They used to call him the Penguin.
More of the Ron Say Show coming up right after this.
The smartest way for you to get the lowest prices on your plane tickets, domestic or international, is to call SmartFares, first or last, but you've got to call us before you book your plane tickets. Fly anywhere in the world, fly anywhere in the U.S., and SmartFares can save you up to 75% on your plane tickets. We have the lowest airline ticket prices on over 500 airlines, and you've got a great 12-hour free cancellation window. Plus, with our live agent help, you can always get fast help and fast answers. So on your next trip, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, how about right now? Pick up your phone and call SmartFares. Plus, save up to 75% on your plane reservation. So call right now. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644.
Hello, everyone. Fred Dreyer here for Balance7.com. Do you suffer from low energy, acid reflux, heartburn, joint discomfort, or a weak immune system? Well, Balance 7 is your answer. Balance 7 dilutes the acid in your body and kickstarts your immune system. That's right. 3 sips a day is all you need. In 3 days, you will feel the difference. Balance 7 is my go-to drink to energize me every day. Stop taking those caffeinated, sugar-filled energy drinks. Balance 7. Works. Remember, a sick body is an acid body. So, cut the acid in your body with Balance 7. Go to Balance7.com or call 800-793-9039. Use the code word FRED to get $15 off your order and free shipping. Plus a money-back guarantee. Man, you can't beat this. Call 800-793-9039. That's 800-793-9039. Or go to Balance7.com. And don't forget the code word FRED.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
We'll see about that.
Ron Say.
The feistiest penguin in the world.
Penguins have a faster mode of transport than just plain walking.
Yeah, well, that's the way it bounces, penguin.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to We'll See About That. We have a very, very, very special guest and a special friend who is known as the man who made Sinatra laugh. Tom Dreesen, welcome to the show.
Yeah, brother.
Thank you, Ronnie. Thank you, Mel.
It's good to be here. This is exciting because Ronnie and I, as you know, Mel and I, two are old friends, but Ronnie and I go way back. So when I was asked to do this, I said, oh, yeah, I'd love to do that because I want to see him. I haven't seen him in a long time.
Yeah, he was excited about you guys coming down.
So growing up in Chicago, were you a Cub fan in the beginning or were you a Southsider?
I'm a Southside boy, a suburb on the south side of Chicago called Harvey, Illinois. Harvey's steel mills and factories. It's really a microcosm of Chicago, but it was steel mills and factories and blue-collar people. They had 36 churches and 36 taverns in the same town. So I grew up, but as a little boy, my dad lived, we were very poor. I had 8 brothers and sisters. We lived in a shack. If a window broke, you stuck a rag in it. If you had holes in your shoes, you put cardboard in it, you know. And my dad liked to drink and gamble a little bit, you know. In fact, he only drank beer. My mother used to always say, you know, your father likes his beer. And as I got older, I realized he not only liked his beer, he liked your beer and the neighbor's beer. But he would listen to Cub games on the radio. Now I'm a little boy. I'm 5, 6 years old, and I'm becoming this Cub fan. I didn't realize I lived in enemy territory. You know, they always talk about the rivalries between the Dodgers and the Giants and the Red Sox and the Yankees. There's no greater rivalry than Cub White Sox. They hated one another. There were bars on the South Side. If you were a fighter and you loved to fight, just wear your Cub hat in one of those bars. You'd fight all night long. So by the time I'm 8, 9 years old, I'm now a Cub fan, you know. And so I remained a Cub fan all my life, you know.
So who was your favorite player growing up then?
You know, it's interesting you ask that question. It was a guy named Andy Pafko.
Okay.
And he later went to the Dodgers.
Right.
Now, I'm a little boy, and I think his number was 48. I remember number 48. And I just loved this guy, Andy Pafko. And by the way, he was a great hitter, you know, hit many home runs a season, over 40 a couple times, I think. But he also, from defense, one time they put a cap on home plate. And Jack Brickhouse, they had some guys, you know, before the game, BP and everything, they were throwing from center field, from deep center field. He knocked the hat off of the home plate.
Wow.
And they had this on the news. Anyhow, so now years go by. a comedian. I'm performing on television, everything. And Bob Hope took a liking to me and was taking me in different places. He takes me to Vince Lombardi Golf Tournament up in Menominee Falls, Wisconsin. And I'm on yelling, "You're on the tee, you're on the tee." And they had these programs, and I'm signing autographs and everything. And the guy off to the side with a crew cut, an older guy, he said, "Wife and I love to see you on the Tonight Show." I said, "Thank you." And I don't know what made me say it. I said, You know, what is your name? Because he looked familiar. I thought he was an actor because there were a lot of celebrities. He said, "My name is Andy Pafko." I said, "Oh, Andy Pafko." You know, it's my child. Now I go up to him. I said, "Oh, Andy Pafko, I'm a big fan," and all this stuff. Meanwhile, they're, "You're on the tee." I said, No. I delayed the tee because I've met my child.
Of course.
And later that night, I introduced him to the crowd, you know.
Oh, very cool.
I understand that.
Amazing.
Everything doesn't matter in that moment.
Who was your favorite player?
Willie Mays.
Oh, yeah.
I not only had a chance to see him play when I was 10 years old. They did an exhibition game up in Tacoma, Washington, San Francisco Giants. The AAA affiliate was the Tacoma Giants. And got a chance to see him play there. Then I got an opportunity, of course, to play against my childhood idol. Mm. Oh. And I remember this one game that he was playing near the end of his year. He was now with the Mets, and we had a game at Shea Stadium, and Willie had hit a home run in this game. And Willie was coming around second base, coming down my way at third, and I got my glove over my face because I'm smiling, and I'm saying to myself, "God, here's my man. I really want to shake his hand."
Yeah.
You know? And I did not, but God, I had I do have a relationship with him, so that it turned out to be the best of both worlds, or all worlds.
Isn't that great?
It was so cool to be able to play and meet the guy that you most idolized. Yeah,
I played golf on a celebrity players tour. It was basketball, baseball, football, hockey, tennis, and show business people that were 10 handicap or below. So it was Johnny Bench, Mike Schmidt, Mario Lemieux, John Elway, Dan Marino, Michael Jordan. We had 42 Hall of Famers. In show business, it was myself, Eddie Marinaro, Matt Lauer, Brian Gumbel, Jack Wagner, of course. Smokey Robinson, stuff like that. Yeah.
Anybody else you want to throw?
No. But I asked
Tom.
Not enough people.
He's a name dropper. He doesn't mean to. He just can't complete a sentence without.
It's old hat. You know what? He's hanging out with old hat people.
He's
by the way,
you're
not name dropping if you really do know.
That's
those
right.
People.
It's not exactly. It's not name dropping.
My point of this was, after the round of golf was always exciting for me because, in fact, I even created a show one time called "Hanging Out with Tom Dreesen." But I would ask every football player, every basketball player, baseball player, I always ask athletes the same question: who is the greatest player who ever played your position in your mind? And who is the greatest player who ever played? And there was never a doubt about the greatest player who ever played was Willie Mays. And everybody had they always say the same thing. They said, "Tommy, he could hit singles, doubles, triples, home runs. Right. He could bunt. He could steal bases. He could then go out in the outfield and throw you out, you know, trying to steal home." He just was the greatest all-round player. That one time, Joe Garagioli told me one time, the paper said, "Mays 4, Yankees 3," or something like that. that's how great a player. There wasn't even a hesitation there of who was the greatest player of all time. All-around player, you know.
Well, that's been said many times, and it's hard to argue, but there are other people in that mix, but certainly he is one of the greatest. Tell us about, you got to be a bat boy a couple times for the Cubs. You want to tell a little bit about that?
Yeah, because whenever people say you were a bat boy, they always think as a little boy that you were a bat boy. But I was Dallas Green made me first president of the diehard Cub fan club, and then every year I'd throw out the first pitch, and then also I sing "Take Me Out to the Ball Game." Ever since Harry died, I sing that for the last 20 years. But years ago, when you were with the Cubs, you were with the Dodgers at the time.
20 years ago?
Yeah, but you were with the Dodgers.
Try 40 years ago.
40, yeah, no. Decades ago.
Decades.
Go on, throw them under the bus.
No.
Jim Fry and I were having brunch in Chicago, and he said to me, "How did you become a Cub fan?" And I went through the whole story. And I said, "I used to go to Wrigley Field. My mom and my brother and I would shine shoes in all the taverns, and we'd bring our money home to help feed our brothers and sisters. And my mom would take a nickel out of each money that we brought on the table, and she put in a cup. And when it filled up this little cracked cup she had in the cupboard, we could take the IC downtown and then go over to Wrigley Field, and I'd sit in the bleachers. Oh, wow. And I told Jimmy Fry, I said, I'd sit in the bleachers, and I used to fantasize. I said, see the bat boy, and I said to my brother, boy, wouldn't it be great if we could be a bat boy? And my brother said, no, that's for the rich kids, Tommy, on the north side, not like us from the south side. Oh. And Jim Fry said, well, maybe we'll make that happen. And he lets me be bat boy one time for like 4 days in a row, and it became an annual thing. Every year I'd go into Chicago, and I'd be bat boy 4 or 5 days, you know. And then one time I was bat boy at Dodger Stadium when the Cubs are there. And also I announced the game when Harry Carey had the stroke and all that stuff. So I've been involved with the Cubs ever since as a kid. Yeah.
Well, that's a heck of a story, a heck of an opportunity. I know that had many outings with your Cub hat. And I know that when you were on the Letterman show, and we'll talk more about that in another segment, but you have a few stories about being on the Letterman show. You were on that how many times?
You hosted it, didn't you?
I hosted it, too. Yeah. I was on it over 50 times, and you're going to talk about me being naked with just the Cub hat. And yeah. We'll talk about that.
How about the missed high five? We got to talk about that, too.
Well, first of all, when I was bat boy for the Cubs, they allowed me to hit batting practice. You know, in those days, you could do those. I'd hit batting practice. I'd go out in the outfield and catch fly balls.
What a dream.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was. I was like a pig in slop, you know. when I was bat boy, when Ronnie hit one out one time, and so he was coming. I went out to pick up the bat, and Ronnie touched home plate, and he was heading for the dugout. He put his hand up because you're supposed to give him the high five. I walked right by him because
you just left him hanging.
Well, I didn't think bat boys were
feeling,
allowed.
Were your feelings hurt, Ron?
I was just happy to hit the home run.
Okay, yeah, there you go. Yeah.
We made up for it after that.
Okay,
we got another segment coming up here with the great Tom Dreesen. We'll be back right after this message. Thanks for joining us.
Morons say after this. Wait, why do morons say after this?
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. If you've had a revision or removal surgery of a hernia mesh implant after 2008, pay close attention to this message. Hernia mesh manufacturers have recalled some of the mesh material that may have been used in your surgery due to high failure rate. The FDA has even blamed the recalled mesh material for some of the worst of the health issues reported by doctors and patients. If you've had two or more hernia surgeries for the same issue and you're having severe complications, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now.
800-817-2968. 800-817-2968. 800-817-2968. That's 800-817-2968.
Let's say life knocks on your door and you need money to live on or pay bills. What do you do? Would your life be better if you were able to take the equity you've built in your home and spend it any way you want? Here's an idea. Call Easy Knock. They can help you convert the equity in your home into cash in just a few days. If your home is worth $100,000 or more, EasyKnock will buy it from you. You get the money you need, and you stay in your home as a renter. Plus, depending on your program, you can buy it back at any time. If you think you might not qualify, remember, they can say yes when your bank says no. Call EasyKnock now and get the cash you need out of your home.
EasyKnock is not a lender. Its products are not available in all markets. Terms and conditions apply.
800-245-9187. 800-245-9187. 800-245-9187. That's 800-245-9187.
Come on, you watch the news. Be prepared to pay more taxes. Then if you owe back taxes or haven't filed in a few years, get ready. The IRS, the largest collection agency in the world, will be coming after you. With the power to collect taxes by any means they want to. Hey, they can freeze your bank account, your passport, even padlock your business. Oh, good times. Look, if the IRS claims you owe them $5,000 or more in back taxes and they're coming after you, don't panic. Call my friends at Get a Tax Lawyer first. Their job is to negotiate with the IRS and save you money. They're experts at it. That's all they do. And you can trust them. In some cases, they have reduced a $50,000 tax bill to less than $1,000. If you owe the IRS $5,000 or more in back taxes, call now for a free consultation.
Call 800-732-9635. 800-732-9635. 800-732-9635. That's 800-732-9635.
We'll see about that.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to We'll See About That. Special guest, Tom Dreesen. Tom, I want to get back into your interview, your many shows with David Letterman. You got a few stories about that.
Well, David and I started out the comedy store together. I met him when he first came off from Indianapolis. I'll tell you a real quick story. Letterman says to me, he calls me one day and he says, this is a few months back, he said, Tommy, every time you do an interview or every time I do an interview and they say, how did you meet? You always tell that same story that you came off stage, I was in the parking lot, it was my first day in L.A., and he said, and I complimented you on your set and we became friends. I said, yeah. He said, well, it's a boring story. I said, it's the truth. I don't care. He said, it's boring. He said, from now on, tell people you came off stage at the Comedy Store. I was in the parking lot, and I stole some material from you, and you beat the hell out of me in the parking lot. I said, now, why would I tell a story like that? He said, because it's a better story. So anyhow, 2 weeks go by. He calls me. He said, do you know the governor of Illinois? I said, I met him, but I don't know him. He said, well, he had a situation that he wanted to help. There were some adults with autism that were planting corn and beans and tomatoes. And when it came into fruition, they'd give it to the homeless. And he said that the state is going to take that property away, and I want to interfere. Can you introduce me to the governor? I said, I know the Senate Majority Leader, you know, and I'll call him John Cullerton. I called him, and he said, Tom, tell Dave we got that all taken care of, not to worry about it. I said, would you tell him, because he explained about a statute and stuff like that. So he said, sure, and I gave Dave his number. And I said, oh, by the way, John, I said, when you talk to Dave and tell him you're helping him, tell him the only reason you're helping him is because Dreesen beat the hell out of him in the parking lot. He said, okay, he's a good guy. 10 minutes later, my phone rings. I knew it was Dave. I said, hello. He said, didn't I tell you that's a better story? I told you that's a better story. But I'm on his show years ago when he was with NBC. To me, you know, how's your Cubs doing? And I reached inside my coat and I handed him a Cub jacket, a Cub hat. I said, it's funny you asked that. The Cubs wanted you to have this. He said, gee, I'll always treasure it. And he threw it over his shoulder into the wall, you know, that he always
glass
did.
Broken in town. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So I got up and I threw the chair like I was throwing the chair toward the band. And,
oh, no.
And I almost killed Paul Schaefer. I said, where I'm from, when you throw a Cub hat on the floor, it's like throwing the American flag on the floor. Anyhow, after that, I came back to Chicago and I had my brother as a photographer took a picture of me naked, just my backside, with all I had on was a Cub hat, and I sent it to Letterman, said, you can have everything I got, you don't touch my Cub hat, right? So then he sent it to every sleaze porn magazine in the country.
Did you get a lot of work?
Oh. Playgirl magazine called me. I was performing in Tahoe, and in those days they were doing a male nude centerfold. You remember Burt Reynolds?
Yes, yes, yeah. I remember that.
And I'm my name's on the marquee. I'm performing with Sammy Davis at Harris in Lake Tahoe, and the operator said, "Mr. Dreesen, we have a woman on the phone that says she's with Playgirl magazine, and they want to talk." I said, "I'll take the call." She said to me, "We made you an offer for $10,000. They saw the picture. Would I do a centerfold?" And I said, no, my wife and children and daughters. And she said, oh, it's a morality thing. I said, no, it has nothing to do with morality at all. If you had contacted me a few years ago when I was hitchhiking up and down Sunset Boulevard, I don't know what I'd have done for $10,000, you know. I said, but I don't need the money now, you know. Yeah. But it did try to get me. It almost got me a gig, yeah. Sure.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. Cool.
So let's talk about Tim and Tom.
Historical thought comedy team.
I got in the show business. I had no intention of ever going in the show business. I never thought about it. It wasn't on my mind at all as a kid or anything. I'm in the JCs, a civic group that...
there we go. Look at that haircut.
Tim and I look at that picture. We used to call it Slick and Bones. You know. But anyhow, I wrote a drug education program teaching grade school children the ills of drug abuse with humor. It was a concept I had of getting to the kids before they got to high school. At that time, they weren't teaching drug education at a college level or a high school level, let alone at an elementary school level. So, and again, fate. At that time, I'm honest to God praying. I'm saying to God, what is it I'm supposed to be doing? Because I was wandering aimlessly. I had spent 4 years in the military. I had a wife and three kids. Every job I had, I'd like, but I felt so unfulfilled. And I finally started praying. I said, God, there must be something I'm supposed to be doing. I'd be in a bar with my buddies at 2 o'clock in the morning and saying, I don't belong here. But I didn't know where I belong. But anyhow, I write this drug education program. I propose it to the JCs one night so they'd sanction it. And after they agreed to sanction it, a young black guy comes up to me. He had just joined the chapter. He graduated from Norfolk State College. E.I. DuPont recruited him out of college into Chicago to be a marketing rep. He said, my name is Tim Reed. I'd like to work with you on that project. I said, gee, I already have a guy, a white friend of mine named John DeBoer. I said, but thank you. Now, again, I'm praying that fate would have it. The next day, John DeBoer calls me and said, I can't do that project with you. I have a new job. I said, gee, what was that black guy's name? Oh, Tim Reed. I get a hold of Tim. We sit down. We rehearse it. We go into the schools, and the program became number one in 50 states and in 22 foreign countries through JC Publications on how to teach drug education at an elementary school level. And a lot of it was based on humor. Tim and I would we'd play music, get the kids laughing, play off of one and off another, you know, all that. And then we'd plant the seeds of the ills of drug abuse. One day, a little eighth grade girl walking out of the classroom said, you guys are funny. You ought to become a comedy team. And the thought of a black-white comedy team intrigued us because no one had ever done that before. Mm-hmm. So we started talking about it and fleshing it out. And then pretty soon we started writing what we thought was material. Now, mind you, there were no comedy clubs. This is 1969. There were riots all over the nation, all over the country. There were race riots. And in Harvey, Illinois, one of the largest riots in the country, in the neighborhood that I grew up in. And also, students were protesting the Vietnam War. Exactly. I mean, America was in turmoil.
Right.
And in the middle of all this, we decided to become a comedy team, you know. And again, there were no comedy clubs, so we had to work. We worked all black clubs in the North and the South, what they affectionately called the Chitlin Circuit.
I was going to say
black-owned, black-operated nightclubs. The 20 grand in Detroit. At that time, Motown was in Detroit. And all the Motown acts would break their act in before they went to Vegas at the 20 grand. The High Chaparral in Chicago, the Burning Spear, the Guys and Gals Lounge, the Cotton Club.
Apollo.
The Apollo. We worked the Sugar Shack in Boston, the Club Harlem in Atlantic City. So we worked all black clubs. And then we worked later into the Playboy circuit, you know. And we became America's first black and white comedy team. We put an album out one time, and then we also had a book out called Tim and Tom, An American Comedy in Black and White, which we wrote about 20 years ago.
Right.
And now there's a lot of talk about maybe doing a miniseries, not Tim and I, but somebody playing me and somebody playing Tim, on what it was like touring the nation at that time. We did 11 prisons in 1 year. We did the county jail in Chicago. We'd go anywhere there was racial tension, in high schools, colleges. We didn't preach. We just were making people laugh. It's an interesting thing in those days that if there was a black guy who hated white people, hated them with a passion, he wasn't mad at me when I went on stage. He's mad at Tim for being with me. Mm-hmm. Vice versa, if there was a redneck white guy who hated black people, he wasn't mad at Tim. He was mad at me for being with Tim.
Yeah, I'm sure you saw a lot of racism that was aimed.
A guy put a lit cigarette on Tim's face the fourth time we ever appeared on stage, and it turned into a Donnybrook, a real brawl. I boxed when I was in the service, but this guy outweighed me by 100 pounds, and it's a long story. It's in our book, but
yeah.
it's also in my book, but. I thought he broke my ribs, you know. Anyhow, that turned into a big fight. A year later at University of Illinois, a punk went outside, packed an ice ball in the snow, and came in and hit me right in the face with the ice ball while we were on stage.
Oh, cool.
But this didn't, 90% of the people who saw us liked this. But there was just that one element out there that you always had to deal with.
You're going
to
hate no matter what.
Yeah. So we stayed together 6 years. We're the best of friends to this day. I'll tell you what, if we talk about this, Tim and I talk about this, and we can move on. But the team broke up after 6 years. But we sit around and talk about this. I can't tell you the times, Ronnie and Mel, that we would do a show somewhere, and after the show, a white kid would come up to us and say, you know, I have a black friend that I'd like to reach out to, but if I do, the white guys are going to call me all kinds of names. But after watching you and Tim today, I'm going to reach out to my black friend. Vice versa, a black kid would come up and say, you know, I have a white friend that I really like, but the brother's going to wear me out. But after watching you and Tim. Because all of America in those days said, you know, we need more discourse among the races. And guess what they're saying today, 50 years later? You know, we need more discourse among the races. Well, Tim Reed and I, in 1969, we were the discourse America wasn't having. We were going on stage having a conversation. Not all of it was about race and our comedy, but there was some fun things.
It was diversity and it was funny.
Well, and not only that, we attacked every stereotype white people had about black people and every stereotype black people had about white people through comedy. It was a great era. It's one of my greatest memories.
I truly hope that series comes to fruition because that is a great, great story.
What a tremendous opportunity to express your opinions and make a point. You did society a great service by opening that up and taking a look at it.
Well, for those we touched, I don't know. I think when I say 50 years later, we're still having this same discussion.
I agree. When we thought it was gone, it was lying dormant.
There's a lot of things out there that, have lasted this long.
Incidentally, baseball, sports, with Jackie Robinson, all that all of a sudden, when you saw that teamwork and you saw, and all of a sudden you didn't care what color the guy was that hit the home run.
You realize how important that integration was.
When you talk about that, Jackie did break the barrier. Baseball is not supposed to have a color barrier.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be the best person that can play this position regardless.
Amen.
And, we now have, baseball that, we have players from all over the world playing, and unfortunately, not a lot of the black population is still playing baseball, which they've been working on for quite some time, because it's not quite as sexy as basketball or football. But the fact that we have gotten more kids looking into sports at a young age, giving them something other to think about and do that can get them in trouble. I always felt when I grew up playing sports, it was a big asset for me. It kept me off the streets, gave me something to do that I really enjoyed. Okay, we have another segment coming up here with Tom Dreesen, and we're going to be talking about the man who made Sinatra laugh and how that opportunity came about. We'll be back right after this.
More on Say after this. Wait, why do morons say after this?
Science proves quality sleep is vital to your mental, emotional, and physical health. The Sleep Number 360 smart bed senses your movements and automatically adjusts to help keep you both effortlessly comfortable. And it's temperature balancing, so you stay cool. So you're at your best for yourself and those you care about most. Life-changing sleep, only from Sleep Number. Don't miss our New Year's special. The Queen Sleep Number 360 C2 smart bed is only $899. Save $200. Plus special financing. Ends Monday. Special financing subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See store for details.
Hello there. My name is Seychelle, and what makes the Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich original to me is the punch of flavors that's unlike any other. You get the crispy tenderness of the chicken and that hint of sourness from the pickles. Ta-da!
Hey, I'm Juan, and what makes the Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich original to me is you're going to get chicken that's crispy, golden, and juicy. This is the gold standard of chicken sandwiches.
Order the original Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich on the Chick-fil-A app today. Real customers paid for their testimonials.
Progressive presents Adjusting to the Suburbs.
It never dawned on me how much walking I used to do until I bought a house in the suburbs. Like when I'd say, I'm going for coffee, of course I was walking. But now it's like 3 miles, and no latte's worth that. I find myself inviting people on walks with me, like it's a scheduled activity. This morning, my neighbor asked me what I'm doing, and I actually said, I'm going for a walk with Nancy.
Anyway, when you save with Progressive by bundling your home and auto, that's the easy part of adjusting to the suburbs. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company coverage provided in service by affiliates and third-party insurers.
Hi, I'm John Smoltz, former Major League Baseball pitcher and current Hall of Famer. I've had the pleasure of seeing so many great products come and go, but the rope is the best I've ever seen. I promise you it's going to help the little leaguer, it's really going to help the big leaguer, and it's going to save those young arms from a lot of injuries.
The rope trainer allows a player to grip an actual baseball or softball while warming up. So check out theropetrainer.com and see why Hall of Famer John Smoltz swears by it. That's theropetrainer.com.
If you want to save money and start the year right, Staples has you covered.
I need everything to restock my business. File folders, break room supplies, even business cards.
Staples has you covered with big savings on everything you need for your home or office. And now at Staples, rewards members get $30 back via Staples store bonus when they spend $100. That's $30 to use toward everything from ink to tech. Save big right now at Staples, the working and learning store. Rewards members only. Store bonus redeemable in-store only. Offer ends 1/21.
Straight Talk Wireless knows there are plenty of reasons you might need a new phone. But switching to a better wireless provider doesn't have to be one of them. Keep your own phone and save when you switch to any Straight Talk Wireless plan. Like our $45 Silver Unlimited plan with unlimited high-speed data and 5 gigs of hotspot. Plus, nationwide 5G. Keep your own phone. Switch to a better wireless plan. Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Requires a compatible unlocked phone and QIOP kit. 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. See latest terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Steve Carlin going head-to-head with Ron Say. High drive into deep left field. Back goes Leszczynski. It's gone! Fred Slammer!
2-2 to Say. It's a high in the air to deep left field. Winfield back. She's gone!
This Week in Dodger History is brought to you by BFF Financial. The solutions are ours. The decisions are yours.
The fans.
And welcome back. And this day in Dodger history, brought to you by BF Financial, is in 1934, Hall of Fame manager Casey Stengel became the Dodgers' first manager of Brooklyn.
Okay, so welcome to Casey Stengel. Casey, I had a chance to meet.
Yeah, you actually got to meet him?
Oh, wow. Yeah, I met through Bob Case, who was on our show here a few weeks ago, and Babe Ruth, was also a player in uniform as a coach back in the late 30s.
Batting coach,
late 30s,
right?
Something like
that.
Yeah. But anyway, great to be associated with them. Of course, Casey Stengel had any number of world championships he won. Very successful manager. Player manager.
He almost became a parody of himself towards the end of his career. But
Anyway, back to
our
Tom, and we're going to talk about a little bit about Frank and Johnny Carson, but you wanted to touch on...
After Tim Reed and I broke up, and because I grew up in a predominantly black neighborhood, I played basketball on an all-black basketball team, I played football on an all-black football team, so I used to do a lot of routines about this. And white people would always say to me, do black people laugh at your material? Do black people, because I'd be on the Tonight Show talking about these routines and also on Dinah Shore, Merv Griffin, all these shows. And white people say, do black people laugh at your material? I got so tired of hearing this, I went and did an album in front of an all-black audience. It's called That White Boy is Crazy.
All right. There you go.
I'm sure I know where you got that title.
Well, Richard Pryor wanted me to call it That Honky's Crazy.
Because
he had that N-word's crazy. Yeah. I said, an album. And I said, I said, I'd do that, Richard, but not one black guy in my whole life ever called me honky. They always call me white boy, affectionately.
Yeah.
They would say, hey, white boy, come here, white. If I went back to my old neighborhood right now and they were arguing about a football game, and the guy said, I scored 2 touchdowns that game, white boy, would say, hey, white boy, come here, tell them. I was 12 years old when I found out my name wasn't white boy. But whenever people say, do black people have your material, I always say, what color is laughter?
Ooh, nice.
What color is laughter?
There you go.
That's why I did the album.
Yeah. Well, you came up with such a strong team out of that Comedy Store with historical people. Pryor, you, Letterman, geez, unbelievable time.
I was going on stage every night when I first came out here. The team broke up. I'm broke. My wife and kids are in Chicago. I'm hitchhiking up and down Sunset Boulevard. I was house sitting, and then I lost that thing, and I was sleeping in a Nash Rambler, an old Nash Rambler, not my car. It was up on blocks. The front seat came down. And I would hitchhike. I would wash up in a gas station, and I'd hitchhike up and down Sunset Boulevard every night for almost a month, begging to work for free at the Comedy Store. And I finally got on at the Comedy Store, and I'm performing every night with all these unknown comedians, David Letterman, Jay Leno, Robin Williams, Gallagher, Michael Keaton.
Rodriguez.
Freddie Prinze in those days,
that's
of course.
Right. Yes, yeah.
And Elaine Boozler. And,
wow.
And the girl waiting tables was Deborah Winger, you know.
Here we go again.
Yeah.
That's great. I mean, that's
beautiful. It's just a sentence. He's not trying to do anything.
No, really. No.
Well, these are people, these are my peers and my friends that I love to this day. And, you know.
Well, Willie Mays, Henry Aaron, Tom Seaver. I mean, come on. I get it. Okay. No, it's all good.
You can't help it.
See, for me, it's full circle. Yeah. All of life is about things that come full circle.
Right.
You know, and that you're a little kid and you admired all these people. And then one day.
They admire you.
I used to go to movies and watch all these stars. And then all of a sudden, I'm flying in Frank Sinatra's private jet in 45, 50 cities a year in front of 20,000 people opening for Frank Sinatra. This is a guy when I shined shoes in the bars to help feed my brothers and sisters, a raggedy kid. He was on the jukebox.
Right.
You know, this is a guy when I came out of the service and I'm tending bar, you know, with a wife and kids, and you're hearing him, come fly with me, let's fly away.
Bigger
and now I'm flying with him.
Bigger than
the
any
country.
President.
There you go.
Yeah.
Got you on the.
Oh, look at that.
You know why I like that picture? Frank never would say, I love you, except for one time at the end of his life. But he would always sock me on the jaw, say, love you, pal. Whatever we do, he'd sock me on the jaw, say, love you, pal, you know.
It's a great picture.
Yes.
So tell us about it. How, you know, tell us about the experience. Is there something that stands out that you have that you can tell?
How did it start?
Well, here's how it began. When I first started doing the Tonight Show, my whole life changed. One appearance in 1975.
That was the
wherever
way.
You went in America, people say, "What do you do for a living?" You say, "I'm a stand-up comedian."
Oh, there we go. Look at that.
Now, when you say, "What do you do for a living?" You say, "I'm a stand-up comedian." The next question out of the mouth, they'd say, "Have you ever been on Johnny Carson?" If you had been on Johnny Carson in the eyes of America, you just weren't a comedian.
No.
You know. So we had to get to that show. So after I did my first appearance on The Tonight Show, my whole life changed.
Drastically.
I was doing Dinah Shore, Merv Griffin, Mike Douglas, Johnny Carson, Midnight Special, Rock Concert, Soul Train. I'm the only white comedian to ever do Soul Train. American Bandstand. Because of that, the power of that show. Then Sammy Davis Jr. took me on the road with him for 3 years as his opening act. Then I started touring with all these other different artists. But now I was performing with Smokey Robinson, and we were at Caesars in Lake Tahoe, and Frank Sinatra was appearing next door at Harrah's. And I was always a Sinatra fan, of course. So one night after my show, now I could have went any night over to Harrah's to see his show. I had worked Harrah's many times, so I called the maitre d' and said, I'm coming over to watch a show. He said, Tommy, we'll take care of you. Get over here right after the show. So I came off stage at Caesars in Lake Tahoe, and as you know, it's one casino over to Harrah's. I didn't even change out of my stage clothes. I was rushing into the showroom.
In a tux.
In a suit. But anyhow, I was rushing in the showroom, and the vice president of Harrah's Hotel named Holmes Hendrickson saw me. He was talking to a big heavyset guy with a cigar. And again, I could have went up one of any of those 7 nights. Why I went that night, I don't know. But as fate would have it, it worked out. As I'm running into the showroom, Holmes Hendrickson's Tommy Kimmery introduced me to this big heavyset guy with a cigar. He said, Tommy, this is Mickey Rudin. Well, I recognized the name. That was Frank Sinatra's lawyer. And he said, Mickey, this is Tom Dreesen, and I think Tom would make a great opening act for Frank Sinatra.
Oh, wow.
And the lawyer got a pained expression on his face like he heard that a million times. And he winked at the vice president, but I caught the wink. He said, hey, kid, if I gave you a week with Frank, would you want more than $50,000? I said, Mr. Rudin, put it this way. If you gave me a week with Frank, would you want more than $50,000? He said, oh, I like this kid. And they gave me a week with Frank at the Golden Nugget in Atlantic City. And I thought I was going to be there a week. I figured I'll get my picture taken with, hang it in every bar and back in Chicago.
Get more work out of it.
and say that I met Frank Sinatra. On the second night I was with him, he and his wife Barbara took me out to dinner. And I can remember like it was yesterday, he set his knife and his fork down. He said, I like your material and I like your style. I'd like you to do a few other dates with me if you're interested. And I didn't say, let me check my calendar. I said, yeah. And it turned into 14 years, 45, 50 cities a year, 20,000 seat arenas, 40,000 in Hawaii. The greatest tour of all time for me. And excitement. And I was at Paul Bear at his funeral, and I spoke at his funeral. And I miss him every day of my life. And in those 14 years that I toured with him, I turned down more sitcoms than most comedians get offered in a lifetime. Because every time they came to me, it would mean that I'd have to quit playing golf on that Celebrity Players Tour, which I was enjoying, and also flying with Frank all over the world. If you'd have told me when I was a little boy, and I was an athlete, but I wasn't of your caliber, Ronnie. I was a kid that just loved sports. If you had told me when I was a little boy, one day you're going to get inside of an arena and you're going to compete against the greatest athletes who lived in your lifetime, I said, that's impossible. That would be impossible. But I was doing that on the Celebrity Players Tour. And if you'd have told me when I was a little boy shining shoes with holes in my shoes, you hear that guy in the jukebox? One day you're going to be flying all over the world with him and appearing on the same stage with him. I'd have said, that's impossible. But they were happening to me. And that's why.
Yeah.
A wise philosopher once said, in the end, all you have are memories. Make some good ones. And, man, I made some good ones.
Yeah, you sure did. That's an incredible story. What a career you had.
And it's almost like karma, because there's not a person in this industry that has nothing but beautiful and lovely things to say about you, Tom. And that's the truth.
I appreciate that. I'm humbled by that remark.
Yeah, but it's the truth, man.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Johnny Carson. You have funny moments with him, I'm sure.
Well, he you know, Johnny, I did 61 appearances on The Tonight Show. People would say, what's Johnny like? I said, I don't know. Because he was so private. You know, he was wonderful to me. He changed my life. You know, his show changed my life for sure. But he was terrific for comedians. A lot of people thought of Johnny Carson as a comedian. He really wasn't a comedian. He was a talk show host, but he did monologues. But he had such respect for comedians.
He started a weatherman, right?
But, well, no, he started as he was a game show host.
Oh, okay.
On Who Do You Trust?
Oh, that,
you know,
okay.
But he was his show. He loved comedians, and his show launched more comedians than any show ever.
It was a graduation. The store you got Carson, and the next day you were everything.
Freddie Prinze did one appearance. He got a sitcom the next day. I did one appearance on The Tonight Show. I was in the unemployment line.
Yeah.
The day before, I was one appearance. The next day, CBS signed me to a development deal. A guy named Lee Curlin in New York was watching the show. I had a wife and three kids. I had $225 a month rent. That, you know, when I got my wife and kids back out here, and I couldn't even make rent money half the time. And the next day, CBS gave me a $10,000 check and $1,850 a month for 1 year. That meant my rent was paid, my groceries were paid. That meant I could write material, I could concentrate on my career. One appearance on that.
That whole class of the store that you were with, pretty much Louis Anderson did the same thing. Their lives just drastically changed in one day.
That show and the power of that show.
In those days,
Yeah. I know. But I tell you what, though, standing behind that curtain, I'm a calm performer. I love show business. I love performing. I don't throw up before performances or anything. I can hardly wait to get out there. But that first appearance on that Tonight Show, 26 million people watched that show. You're standing behind that curtain. First time I went there, I got bumped. Second time they ran out of time, I got bumped. I got bumped three times in a row.
Oh, wow.
Now I'm sitting in makeup. Fred DeCordova comes in the makeup room, and he said, I got bad news for you. I said, what? He said, you're going on tonight. No, you get a lump in your throat the size of a grapefruit, you know.
Are you sure? We don't have to do
now
this.
Now it's your turn to go on. They come and get you out of the green room. You take that long walk all the way down that long walk. All the stage hands are back there. And you, when you're a veteran, when I was a veteran, they'd say, hey, Dreesen, how's your Cubs? You know, they'd do all that kind of stuff. That first time, they see you coming, they all turn their back and they whisper, it's his first time.
Dead man walking.
Oh, yeah. You get behind a curtain and they tell you, you know, you're behind a curtain now. And again, there's 26 million people waiting to see you. And the coordinator said, are you all right? And he said, yeah. His name was Craig Tennis, a great guy. He walks away. Now you're left alone. And you're back there and the music is playing because Doc Severinsen's playing the music because they're on commercial break. All of a sudden, the music stops and your heart stops. The curtain lights up. They open up the curtain. Johnny Carson says, we're back now, and I'm glad you're in such a good mood tonight because my next guest is making his first appearance on The Tonight Show. One line, I'm glad you're in such a good mood tonight. That's a clever line on Johnny's. They open that curtain. You walk out. You can't see the audience. Bright lights in your face.
Yeah.
You hit your mark. And I did my first joke, and it got a laugh. I did my second joke, and it got a laugh. Now, third joke, it got a laugh. Now I hear Johnny and Ed laughing behind me. Now I'm on a roll.
Ed's laugh.
I end up getting 8 applause. I close with this. I said, you've been a wonderful audience. This is my first appearance on The Tonight Show. And show business is a tough life. If you like me, just if you like me and you're Protestant, say a prayer. If you're Catholic, light a candle. If you're Jewish, somebody in your family owns a nightclub. Tell them about me.
And you'll find that all in this book, Tom Dreesen. My journey from streets and saloons to the stage and Sinatra. That's hilarious.
Oh, God, that's funny.
Yes.
That is hilarious. That's why you're Tom Dreesen.
Nobody else can do it.
Yeah. I tell you, it's the greatest profession on the planet, being a stand-up comedian. People feel better for having had your service. You feel better for doing it. It's the greatest profession on the planet.
Yeah, what a beautiful thing to lighten people and distract them from all their pain. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we'll see more about that. I'm going to ask you about a little bit more about what you're doing today, where you're going to be showing up when we return for our last segment here, Tom. And it's been a pleasure. It's been really fun listening to what you had to say. Thank you. We'll be right back.
Don't go waddling away just yet. Get it? They used to call him the Penguin. More of the Ron Say Show coming up right after this.
Here's a simple solution for you. If you have back pain, knee pain, or any other pain in your body, it's as simple as drinking a glass of water every day. Your body is over 60% water, and drinking the best water you can get is crucial for your health. Echo Antioxidant Water, developed by Synergy Science, is the best water you can drink, and it's only available through this special radio offer. Over 1,000 research studies have shown that the powerful antioxidant used in Echo Antioxidant Water can reduce inflammation, improve brain function, help you sleep better, and boost gut health. With just 2 glasses a day, you can experience these benefits right from the comfort of your home. Some people have even replaced their morning coffee jolt with Echo Antioxidant Water. Call now and learn which Echo product by Synergy Science is right for you. We offer free shipping and a full 30-day money-back guarantee. Change your health by simply changing your water.
800-944-1789. 800-944-1789. 800-944-1789. That's 800-944-1789.
If you're taking a calcium supplement, it's probably not doing what you think it is. That's because you still lose bone density with traditional calcium supplements. That's where calcium from algae comes in. AlgaeCal Plus doesn't just stop bone loss. It's the only supplement ever shown to increase bone density in clinical studies. That's right. AlgaeCal Plus increases bone density, even if you're in your 80s. That's because your bones need more than just calcium and vitamin D to stay strong. There are actually 13 minerals and 3 vitamins needed to build healthy new bone. And AlgaeCal Plus contains all of them. And it's proudly made in the USA. Your calcium doesn't increase bone density. AlgaeCal Plus does. Talk to one of our bone health consultants today and see how AlgaeCal Plus can start increasing your bone density. Call now.
800-437-8217. 800-437-8217. 800-437-8217. That's 800-437-8217.
If you or a loved one is suffering from a physical or emotional condition that has left you unable to work, then listen carefully. Take this number down. 800-593-7491. That's 800-593-7491. When you call, you'll speak with a Social Security disability expert and get a free evaluation to see if you may qualify for disability insurance benefits from the U.S. government. That's right, a monthly cash payment paid directly to you from the Social Security Administration. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied disability benefits, call now. The disability attorneys at Pinnacle Disability can help you build your case, file an appeal, and represent you at no upfront cost to you. Don't wait another minute to see if you may qualify for your Social Security disability benefits. Call Pinnacle Disability Group at 800-593-7491 for your free case evaluation. That's 800-593-7491. 800-593-7491. Call now.
Let's go!
Now back to more We'll See About That with World Series MVP Ron Say and recipient of 2 participation trophies, Mel Garcia.
Okay, we're back for the final segment of We'll See About That. Tom Dreesen, Mel Garcia, Ron Say here. Just want to remind you there's a lot of big football games coming up. First round of the NFL playoffs. Should be quite interesting. My 49ers, I'm betting on them all the way, guys. And
Purdy.
Yeah, I like it.
He's Purdy.
Tom, tell us a little bit about, what you're currently involved with. Want to plug anything here?
Well, you know, I'm doing a one-man show called The Man Who Made Sinatra Laugh. It's a 90-minute show.
I've seen it. It's a tremendous. You guys cannot miss that.
It's really a lot of fun. As people are filing into the theater, they're playing Frank's Sinatra. Music, Sinatra music, and then the lights go down low, and then there's a big screen, and Dennis Farina, God rest his soul, narrates three and a half minutes of my life. Yeah. And then I walk out and I do stand-up comedy for about 30 minutes. And I segue over to a bar. There's a bar on the stage with a bottle of Jack Daniels, which was Frank's drink of choice. And I tell a funny story at the bar, and the audience is laughing. And while they're laughing, the lights go out, and on the screen, Frank is singing to the bartender. It's 2:45. There's no one in the place except you and me. You know,
one set him up, Joe.
Yeah,
road.
One for my baby. So he's like singing to me. And when he gets to the chorus, make it one for my baby and one more for the road. He goes off screen and the spotlight hits me. And now I'm in a bar and I've come home. And the audience is in a bar with me. I was shining shoes in a bar in Harvey, Illinois. And I take them from that little boy hearing Sinatra in Harvey, Illinois, to one day carrying his coffin out of a church in Beverly Hills, California. So I take them on that journey, and as I'm telling stories, pictures are coming on the screen, authenticating the stories, as well as video of Frank and
it's
I.
It's a great thing.
It's a fun,
favorite Sinatra song?
My favorite Sinatra song? I always say it depends what mood I'm in, because I have so many songs, you know.
If you had to pick one.
Well, you know, there's a song that I Have Dreamed from The King and I. It's absolutely, Frank is perfect, and Nelson Riddle arrangement is absolutely perfect. It's a brilliant, brilliant song.
Tom, I want to thank you so much. You've had a brilliant career. We'd love to have you back. There's obviously tons of more stuff to talk about.
Only the iceberg.
Yeah.
And I would love that.
I want you to be aware that we're going to have a very special lady guest in here next week, Annie Myers Drysdale. She's a terrific woman. She's got a lot of stuff to talk about. Thanks for joining us, and our new viewers from Sports Byline. We'll see you next week. Thanks for joining us.